the reading of God's word. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Dear Father, we know all other things will pass away, but your word stands forever. We ask, Father, that your word would be our guide today, that this scripture, Father, that you have revealed to us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as you guided Paul, the author, to write. We ask, Father, that you would give us a glimpse today of what it is to have the attitude that Jesus Christ had. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It was earlier this year in August, my family had the opportunity to go down to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And at Myrtle Beach, you know, you've got the beach, you've got the waves. We had not only my two children, Olivia and Hannah, there, and my wife, but we also had my parents, our children's grandparents. And it was a great time, you know, being out on the beach, enjoying the surf. My children really were out there in the waves. They were using the boogie boards. We were having really a good time. And one of the things we did was the kids built sandcastles. They built little structures in the sand. And these sandcastles, you know, they were simple. And some of the folks along the beach I saw built these beautiful big sandcastles. Spent a lot of time. And, you know, the sandcastles didn't last real long, because once the waves came and the high tide came, they washed away the sand. And really, it is an image or a picture of our lives. You know, we can build things, we can invest our time in things, but sometimes we invest in things that won't last. But the relationships, the time spent with people, that was lasting. Another thing to think about is investing. Many of you are investors. You think about your retirement accounts. You know, one of the strategies financial advisors recommend is long-term investing. You know, you put your money in something that's going to grow over time, that's going to have a good return. So you think about investing, you think, you know, you want to think wisely about what you invest in. You want to consider carefully what you invest in. And sometimes those investments bring wonderful returns. Sometimes they grow, and at the end of the road, at retirement, or for something else you may be investing and saving for, you know, that investment grows and brings a wonderful return, and we all want that. And retirement accounts are wonderful and good, and there's a value for those, and there's certainly a benefit in having savings in retirement. But God wants us to think about something that's an investment for eternity. One of the wonderful things about our faith is that Jesus has accomplished it all, and he is on the throne in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And so he has received all glory and honor because he finished his work. God has called on all Christians to have, as it says here in verse 5, the attitude, the mindset, or the state of mind that our Lord Jesus had. What kind of mindset is that? Well, it's the Christian mindset. So the Christian mindset, what is that? Well, Christian mindset is a set of values, having a perspective or a worldview that maybe isn't common, but it is nonetheless the attitude that we're called to, because this is what it talks about in Philippians chapter 5. Make sacrifices for God. Next slide, please. And one more. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And that attitude, one more slide, includes making sacrifices. Well, think about our Lord Jesus Christ. It says in our text that he was in very nature God. He did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped. And that means held on to. Well, why in the world would anyone, why would anyone in glory, equality with God, why would anyone not grasp that? Well, it's because our Lord Jesus Christ, he made sacrifice for a greater good. So when we think about the sermon series we've been in, which is the 1 month to live, and this is really a fifth message in that, we think about, you know, these kind of thoughts about what really matters for eternity. Again, sandcastles, they're temporal. Other things are permanent. Investing for the long term is a principle of financial advisors recommend. God wants us to invest in the long term. That may take sacrifice. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he came. He didn't grasp equality with God, but made himself nothing, it says. God's going to call on us, too, to make sacrifices. The 1 month to live was a way of looking at from the book and thinking about the experiences of those who have had been told they only had a short time to live. How did they act? What are some of the priorities in their lives? And that's what we thought about. Make sacrifices for God's glory. Jesus made himself nothing. He took the form of a servant. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. So what we're talking about with Jesus, thank you, brother.
He already brought a cup up.
Yeah. So Jesus sacrificed his reputation. Jesus was scorned by men, was crucified, and he was put on a cross and hung there and died because the investment of his life would produce great return, because he was establishing for himself and for the Father's glory a people, building a kingdom. And as it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his glory, and all these things shall be added to you. You see, it ought to be a priority of our hearts to make sacrifices. And for each one of us, that's something different. We can invest time, we can invest talents, we can invest treasure. There are many things we can invest. Jesus invested his very life and put it on the line for us. So next slide, please. I'm going to tell you a story about a man. His name was Jim Elliot. Many of you have heard of him. He was a great missionary hero. He actually died in the 50s. He was a young man that always wanted to be a missionary. It was his great ambition in life to offer up himself on the mission field, to sacrifice. And he went over and he studied. He went to Quito, Ecuador, studied the language. For a couple years there, he trained the indigenous people. He ended up marrying a young lady named Elizabeth Elliot, who now has been a great writer and speaker throughout the world for many years. And when he went over there, his ambition was to put himself on the line for Christ, to bring people the good news of the gospel. And while he was there, they had success in the ministry. He and Elizabeth Elliot married, and they started a family. They had their first child. But it was really on his heart to not only teach the people that already had the gospel, but to get to an unreached people, to get out in the jungle. And there were these people called the Alka Indians. And the Alka Indians were a really difficult people to reach because they were violent. And anyone who had tried to go to them before had been killed. But it was his great passion and desire to reach those people. So he, along with four other men, set out a plan. First, one of them, Nate Saint, one of these five men. Nate Saint was a pilot, a village pilot. He flew a single-engine plane. So they decided to fly over the village and drop gifts. And then they got a loudspeaker, and they learned some Alka Indian words, and they started broadcasting them. They were words about friendship and how they were friends. And later they felt confident, so they landed on the little beach along the riverbed where the Alka Indians lived. Again, nobody had reached these people. They had no contact with the outside world at all. So they landed on this little beach, and they were fortunate enough that they met two young Alka women, and they had a good experience with them. They were able to share with them what a hamburger was because they had some hamburgers with them. They were able to spend some time. Even things like rubber bands were fascinating to these Alka Indians because they'd never seen anything like this before. So they shared all these things with them, and of course the airplane was very fascinating. And then these two went back into the village, and three of them decided to stay overnight on that beach. The two others flew the plane out, and as they were coming back to the village the next day, the two in the plane, they saw this group of people moving towards the beach, and they said, "This is good. We're going to land. This is going to be a great day." So they all five were on the beach. They radioed back to Elizabeth Elliott and the other women, the other wives, and they said, "We've had our first contact, and we're going to go out in the jungle, and we're going to meet these Alka Indians, and just pray for us." Well, that was the last communication that was ever heard from them. Some hours later, a rescue crew came over and found these five men on the beach. They'd all been killed by being sworded with spears. So they had all died on the beach. Elizabeth Elliott says one of the great passions of his life was to put himself on the line for greater good. Famous quote of his, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he can never lose." So Elizabeth Elliott, you would think this is the end of the story. Not the end of the story. Elizabeth Elliott and her 10-month-old daughter, through a great act of providence, God's grace, they bring into their house two Alka Indian women, young women, and they befriend them. For 1 year, they live with them as help in their house. And then Elizabeth feels so confident in her ability to reach these people that she and her daughter, along with these two women, go into the Alka village. Elizabeth Elliott shares the gospel with the very men that killed her husband. The village leaders convert to Christ. By and large, the village entirely comes to Jesus. It's a great act of love that a woman, having lost her husband, an act of love and devotion to only Christ, would lay down her life and walk into this village, the very village that her husband died in, and bring the gospel. It's a great story. It's a great missionary story. These are heroes of the faith. But God is calling each of us to have a sacrifice, to make a sacrifice for His glory. The Jim Elliot story is compelling. He may not be calling us to the mission field to reach the lost. He may not be calling us to go teach in a foreign language. He may not be calling us to do something radical like that, but He is calling us because it says, and this is an imperative, have this mind in you, or have this attitude that Christ Jesus had. It doesn't say, think about having this, or you might want to have it. It says, have it. It's an imperative. It's a command. So how can we have the attitude of Christ? First of all, we have a sacrificial attitude, one that gives up for the greater good of God's kingdom, like Jesus did. Next slide. Secondly, having an attitude like Christ, or having the mindset that Jesus had, means that we ought to be obedient to God. You know, that means trying to understand what God wants for us. Jesus, it says here, was obedient to death, even the death on a cross. So this is the kind of obedience God calls us to, the kind of obedience Christ had. His attitude was to be one who sacrifices, one who is also obedient. And we see this throughout the Gospels. Jesus was obedient. Think of the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was there. Great drops of sweat were falling like blood. And he says, "Father, your will be done. Would it be that this cup could pass? Nevertheless, Father, your will be done." He surrendered to the will of God. Now you may think, I don't know the will of God. Somebody says, you know, I just don't know what God wants for my life. Who should I marry? You know, where should I go to college? What should I do with my retirement years? How do I spend my career? You know, these kind of decisions. Where do I live? Where do I buy a house? Where do I go to church? All these decisions. What's the will of God for us? There's two ways to think about the will of God. First of all, there's the revealed will of God. And what's that? That's everything that God has revealed for us in Scripture. There are many things. For example, you could say, who should I marry? Well, you should not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, only in the Lord. One might say, well, what about purity in my lifestyle? 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 says, this is the will of God for you. Your sanctification, that you be sanctified. And sanctification means become holy. So, you know, when it comes to God's will, if you haven't been obedient to his revealed will, how can you possibly expect him to give you or reveal to you his secret will for your life? In other words, the first thing to know about God's will is to be obedient to what he has revealed. He has told us, you've got from the Ten Commandments all through Scripture, a way that we ought to live. This is how a Christian lives. Be obedient. Jesus was obedient in every way. Because he was tempted, it says, in every way just like us, yet without sin. See, he was faithful and obedient. Now, we've all fallen short, and we've all missed the mark. But Jesus, positionally, has made us white as snow. Positionally, and that is before God's face, he looks at us and he sees Christ's righteousness. We're no longer tainted by sin. That is, we don't see God as our judge that will send us to hell. Because through Christ Jesus, we've been washed clean. Because in the positional aspect, he's done it all for us. Complete satisfaction of our sins. There's nothing we have to add. There's nothing we have to go out and do. He satisfied our sins through his obedience. But now he calls us to be obedient. And that means knowing his will and doing his will. And that will is revealed only in Scripture. And so, you know, we ought to be people of the book. We ought to be people that can take up this book and say, you know, we have a question about what we ought to do with our lives. Here's the answer. What has God said? So there's wisdom here. And the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. But there's so much more. So much more. So there's also this aspect here. Be very careful then how you live. This is from Ephesians chapter 5. Not unlike the unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Consider all things rubbish to gain Christ. So the first thing is to gain Christ, to be obedient to him, to live for Jesus. You know, I was once asked of the sculptor Michelangelo, how did you figure out how to design David? And you know what he said? I just chipped away everything that didn't look like David. So he just chipped away and chipped away till he saw David. That was a gift. But that's what God's doing for us. You may say, well, you know, I'm not what I ought to be. You just don't understand. I'm not what I ought to be. I still fail. I still have shortcomings. But you know what? Look back. And you're not what you used to be. And thank God that he is at work in you. He is at work in you. In fact, the very next verses here talk about working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and do of his good pleasure. Being obedient is easy when you understand that Jesus is the Lord of our lives. And that is that he paid it all. He bought you with a price. You're no longer your own. And therefore, glorify him in your body and in your spirit. Make Jesus the Lord of your life and therefore obey him. Be the kind of person that's obedient. Have the attitude of Christ by being obedient. Next slide, please. Set your mind on things above. Now, this is also part of Jesus' attitude. You might say, what was his mindset? Again, it says, have the attitude of Christ. And it says, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. See, Jesus' attitude was fixed on eternal realities. Because we get so focused sometimes on temporal realities. I mean, just think about it. Have you ever been to a graveyard? Have you ever looked at the inscriptions on a graveyard, on a tombstone? Have you ever seen the dates? And then you see the inscription, loving husband, loving father, something like that. Maybe something longer, shorter. But you know, when you reach the end of your days, and we all will, because as Todd had mentioned in previous messages, this life is a vapor. We're all here for a time. There's actually an amazing song by this group. I love the song very much. It's called Mercy Me. The group Mercy Me, and they have, in the blink of an eye, that is all. I'll be closer to you than I've ever been in a blink of an eye. Because really, our life is a vapor. It is, historically speaking, a blink of the eye. It's a very brief time. We each have a limited amount of days. A limited amount of days. And if you had 1 month to live, that would be quite clear. But each one of us don't know how long we have. We should make the most of our time and be obedient to God because he is our Lord and our Savior. So set your minds on things above means every knee shall bow. I bow my knee today. I make him the Lord of my life today. Our future glory is with Christ. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world, he says. See, Jesus says, my kingdom is not before Pilate. So are you a king? He is, as Pilate said. But my kingdom is not of this world, Jesus said. See, Jesus was fixed on eternal realities. And we should be too. We should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because that's the end that we all want, is God's kingdom to be built. Again, I talked about sandcastles. What are the things in our lives that we're building that are temporal, that the waves are going to come in and wash out? Invest yourself in things that last for eternity. That includes building God's kingdom. There's relationships that will last forever. As we get to know people, we become disciples, we grow together in Christ. These are relationships forever. This is focused on eternity. There's also, think about a football game. When you go to a football game, it's not necessarily the score that counts, but it's getting the W, getting in the win column. Because at the end of the day, you know, many of those scores or the plays will be lost in the football game, but the end result will count. So as we think about setting our mind on things above, think this way. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. We should seek his kingdom. One of the other things to think about here is be followers. If we set our minds on things above, then we're going to think about following Christ, how to glorify him with our lives, how to make the very most of our lives. I also think when I think about this kind of message, I think about the beach. I think about the way I invested my time with my children, with my family, the way we invest our time in the church. Is there an eternal benefit to how I spend my time, my treasure, my wherewithal? There is. And for each of you, there's an opportunity to consider God's will and his path for you, and then to put your trust in him and be obedient to his will, and then set your mind on things above where God is, and he will lead you, and he will direct you into his paths. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it is our great delight to be your children. We know that Jesus came and died for us. He laid down his life that we might have eternal life. And we thank you, Father, that you have also called us to follow and to have the attitude of Christ. And would you, Father, reveal your will for us? Would you help us to be a part of your kingdom? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.